God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you from God our Father through his Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our hearing today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8 on the pew Bibles on page 11. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 8. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. This is the word of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, my wife would question my sanity when I got home. Not a picture of me, couldn't find that one fast enough in the archive, but my wife would question my sanity. And in the moment, every fiber of my being was crying out, "No!" Seven Sisters Falls, the island of Grenada, at least a 35-foot drop from the sloping, wet cliff face to the pristine waters below. 1 year later, I would say to the students, "Oh, no, 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 we don't jump off that cliff because someone died the week before." But on that day, I had to jump. Everybody else was, and it was like I was 15 and stupid all over again. I had made the climb. I wasn't going to be the old guy afraid. You know that emotional, physical, psychological response when you go to the edge and you look over and your whole body just freezes and you can't move your feet and the bottom kind of falls out of the pit of your stomach? Have you been there? That was it. So I was praying, "Lord, I don't want to jump. But Lord, I want to jump, so bring me safely home to heaven. I mean home to Wisconsin because Jean and the girls need me, Lord," as I'm praying. Has the Lord ever put you on the face of a cliff not of your choosing, where you did not want to be, with no way to turn around? "Lord, I don't want to be here. Lord, I cannot jump. Lord, I will not jump. Lord, take away this cliff. Lord, you're not listening. Take me away." Have you ever doubted God's theology as you're standing there? We know that in all things, God is at work for the good of those who love him. "Yeah, right. I'm not seeing it, Lord." Have we ever doubted his plan and his love? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Where are you, Lord? I'm not seeing you, just saying, Lord. Is doubt a good thing in the Christian walk? When Thomas doubted the resurrection, Jesus said, "Thomas, stop doubting and believe." Jonah doubted God's audacious love toward the great city of Nineveh, arch enemies of Israel that he spared and would not destroy. And God sent a storm and a great fish to swallow Jonah and then vomit him out on dry land to challenge him to trust the Lord and not doubt. My friends, doubt may be a part of the Christian walk, but the prayer also must always be there. Lord, give me faith in the midst of my doubt. The Christian's walk with God, with his or her God, is easy, right? Lord, like Abram, let me walk with you until it's not. Until the Lord asks us to step outside of our comfort zone and into the scary reaches of life. If you've been paying attention to the people around you in your life, you know that the Lord's will is full of challenges. And maybe you are one of those today, those people in life whose life is full of challenges. Oh, the bigness of the believing and the doing. You know, the Lord told Abram, and by the way, Abram and Sarai, the names given to Abraham and Sarai prior to the covenant of circumcision being given to them and the name change. The Lord told Abram to leave his country over on the right, Ur of the Chaldean, a 1,000-mile journey over to Canaan. The Lord told Abram to leave his country, his people, his father's household, and go to a land I will show you. Sometimes moving can be a challenge. I always joke that if God asked me or told me to go to Chicago to open a church, in faith I would go, and wearing my green and gold I would go, right? Abram, 1,000 miles eventually by foot with no smartphone, no Google Earth, no Zillow photo of the rental spot waiting for his tent. And I always smile there because my mom would not tent camp for one night, much less for 100 years. Abram and Sarai tent camp. But the Lord had told Abram that he would be a great nation, and that he and that nation would be a blessing for all the people of the earth. My friends, Abram saw Jesus. We'll round back to that a bit later. But that incentive appealed to Abram's faith in the midst of the obvious challenges. Dear friends, even back then, babies took 9 months. Families were built over generations, and nations were beginning to rise out of families and clans over hundreds of years. But we're very simply told Abram went as the Lord had told him. Just another day at the office for Abram, apparently. Oh, the bigness of the believing and the doing. It gets even better when one considers God's timing in it all. God's timing is his, not ours. And God's physical vision, which is always eternal, not physical, right? So ladies and gents, Abram was 75 years old when God sent him on this quest. Sarai was 65. Now, Abram would live to be 175, and Sarai would live to be 127, but even back then, having a baby at 65 was a dicey thing. So when Abram's entourage got to the land of Canaan, God and Abram and Sarai got right after it, right? Sons and daughters, one after the other, go, Sarah, you nation builder, push, push, right? Not so much. 10 years later, still waiting for a son. Doubt began to creep in. Abram thought adoption. Sarai thought a surrogate mother would be a good idea. So Hagar, the handmaid, and eventually her son from Abram, Ishmael. But that was a house of cards collapsing on itself, if you know the history. For Ishmael was not God's man. This was not God's will, his plan, his promise. It came from sin. But God in his grace repeated the promise. He told Abram, I will surely give you a son by Sarai. For you see, God's vision is always eternal. And he is always very meticulous with his details, from the spear wound in Jesus' side to a son coming from the line, the bloodline of Abram and Sarai. The Lord's will is important. So the Lord and his will is also all about teaching. Abram and Sarai would catch up in time. What about your doubts, my doubt? Are they practical? Philosophical? Maybe even spiritual in nature? I knew a man once who had invested his life into being a pastor into his 26th year in seminary training. And then his church told him he did not have the gift. And the anger set in and the doubt. And he challenged God, "Really, God? No call to ministry after all I have invested for you? Why did you keep on opening all of those doors only to slam them shut?" By God's grace, he's now in a good place and sees the plan of his God. Philosophically, why didn't God just end it all at the Garden of Eden? Why did he just send Adam and Eve to hell and spare the world all the sin? Makes me doubt the wisdom and love of a God who would let the evil persist. Until I focus on the love of my God, who is focused in on saving the one, the ones like you and me and Adam and Eve, and all of a sudden, God's love helps. A 21-year-old drinking age, my eye, says the 19-year-old. If I can die for my country, I'm going to have a beer, as he downs his fourth before he heads to the car. Doubting God's wisdom in the face of my opinion? The Lord's will is full of challenges, even as he is all about the teaching. Lord, like Abram, let me walk with you. But more importantly, Lord, like Abram, may you walk with us. Have you ever thought that Abram had an unfair advantage? After all, we're told that God appeared to him. How much easier to trust God and his will if God would just appear to us once in a while and explain stuff to us, right? How many times? I'd like a vision in the night, wouldn't you? Little dew on the fleece and not on the ground, a little dew on the ground and not on the fleece, just like Gideon, right? How many times did God appeared to Abram in 175 years? We know of 8 times in 30 years. How available is your Bible to you? How near to you is the Word of God? It took 600 years before the written Word of God came into this world, and 4,000 years until BibleGateway.com. Who was better off, Abram or you and me? You know, God is willing to speak with us every day through his word. And he is poised to speak with us and share with us his heart more richly than he ever shared with Abram. The God who speaks from his heart to ours and who sharpens us for heaven as surely as he sharpened Abram. You know, the psalmist says this about the words of God. He says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Through this word of God, God walks with us and he talks with us and he sharpens us for heaven. So what did Abraham hear when the Lord said to him, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you"? Jesus answered that question hundreds of years later as he spoke to his fellow Jews and said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." Since the days of Adam and Eve, Through the days of Noah and the flood and beyond, the people of God had been waiting for the offspring of the woman to be born, the one who had been promised to our first parents in the garden, an offspring of the woman who would crush the serpent's head, take away the Satan's ability to accuse us of sin, taking away the curse of sin, and restoring all things to the Creator's original plan and design. And so Abram had been waiting. And when God spoke to him, what did Abram hear? All peoples on earth will be blessed through you is what he heard, but what he saw was Jesus, the offspring of the woman. A reason to trust the plan of God in time and to move to a land not his own. Abraham knew that his journey was for the long haul, involving eternity, and that his journey was for the long reach of God's love to all the nation. And so Abram, in faith, stepped to the edge of God's cliff for him. And 100 years in a tent for Jesus was worth the bugs and the spiders and the snakes and the sandstorm. The writer to the Hebrews tells us this about Abram and Abraham. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, you and me. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. He who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Abram's faith saw the eternal plan and vision of God. So he listened to God's voice and he walked with him. The Lord spoke into Abraham's doubts, grounded him in the message of the Savior who had come, actually gave him that son Isaac at the age of 100, and then took Abram safely home to heaven in the faith of what would be. Are your doubts practical, philosophical, spiritual? You know, doubts are as unique to us as individuals as we are unique as individuals. When I was in seminary, my classmates would always say, "Strobel, you think too much," as I asked question after question. And now at age 56, I say to myself, "Strobel, you think too much." Why do I question my God who knows all, sees all, understands all, and works in love, compared to the myopic, very nearsighted vision of a 56-year-old little man, me? Why do I doubt the love of my God in the midst of heartache and illnesses and trouble that are unique to family? Why do I doubt the love of my God in the hardships and the conversations that I have personally that are unique to me? Why? Well, doesn't God invite us to do so? He says, "Cast all your anxiety on me, for I care for you." Don't we do it because he promises to forgive us as we come to him? "Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief." And don't we do it because he says to us this amazing thing, statement, "No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." I can trust a God who would die for me. I can trust a God who personally knows my struggle. To walk in Jesus is to walk assured. To listen to Jesus is to grow in strength. And for Jesus to walk with me, that is golden. That is I only jumped once, but it was a glorious 35 feet of stupidity. But Lord, when you ask me to jump. May I always jump for you, knowing that I will land safely in your eternal arms. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus.